And now, the preaching of the gospel with James Watkins.
Friends, the fact that most men are lost is the greatest tragedy ever to occur in time or eternity. Most men are lost. Isn't that what the Lord is teaching? That very familiar passage, we've noted it many times, Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. He said, "Enter you in at the narrow gate, for broad is the gate and wide is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But narrow the gate and straighten the way that leadeth unto life everlasting, and few there be that find it." Most men are lost. And the Lord continues in chapter 7 of the book of Matthew there, beginning verse 21, to show that they are religious people for the most part. Very sincere, dedicated. They teach in the name of Christ. They do a lot of good work. But he said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." We've discussed that for the last several lessons. But mankind, for the most part, is alienated from God in a lost estate. Right, that's tragic, especially when the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, many people today, and these are basically good people, it's due to background teaching. We just simply do not read the Bible for ourselves. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Acts 17, verse 11. We need to do that same thing. We need to examine the Scriptures to see whether or not these things are true. And many people have the idea that, oh yes, everyone is going to be saved. Friend, that's not the case. That's not what the Lord said. The Lord said most people are lost. Oh, and he said many religious people will be lost. He makes that very, very clear. And the free gift of God is salvation? Yes. Well, somebody says, there it is. It's the free gift of God. He can do what he will. No. No, it's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6, verse 18. Oh, and the only means of salvation is through the application of the shed blood of his Son. Without shedding of blood is no remission. Hebrews 9, verse 22. Hebrews 10, 1 through 4. Impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. So we're dealing with the shed blood of God's Son. Now, he did not allow his Son to suffer the agonizing death of crucifixion for nothing. No. He did that to provide for your salvation and mine. And yet, most men are lost. Right. So the free gift of God is eternal life, notice, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 3 at verse 23. But most men are lost. It makes you hurt on the inside. It makes me cry on occasion. My heart literally bleeds. I think of the good men who've done so much for so many people. They've been wonderful folk. They have been benefactors. They have cared for the poor. They've fed the hungry. They've done so many wonderful things and never knew the Lord. Died outside of Christ without being saved. A tragedy. Now today, religious teaching is such that the average person thinks that, well, everyone that dies is saved. No. Very, very few people are saved. Very few. None out of Christ. Because salvation is in Christ. Romans 3, verse 23. And numerous other passages. Salvation is in Christ. Right. And yet, when men stand before God in the day of judgment, if they are to hear those words, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you," where can we place the responsibility for this? Did you know we live in a buck-passing generation? That's sad. No one is willing to assume a responsibility for anything. We have an idea, you know, that if it's right for me and I like it, you have no right to say that it's wrong. Pluralism, you know. For every reality, there must be a multiple number of explanations. Someone has said that pluralism is really becoming so broad-minded that your brains fall out. That's a fair explanation, actually. If we use the intelligence that God gave us, we would study the source of faith through which man stands justified before God. You see, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. No, not manuals or disciplines or catechisms or confessions of faith. Not what the preacher says per se. It's what the book says. Now, you listen to the preacher. Give an attentive ear. Oh, yes. And you search the Scriptures daily whether these things are so. Did you know most people are not interested sufficiently in their souls to check out what they hear by reading God's Word? Not many people. And that's a tragedy. Where can we lay the blame? Where can we, you know, find an excuse because, hey, it's not my fault that I'm lost? Friends, is it possible? Is it possible that somewhere along the line there is a flaw that maybe I can lay the responsibility for my lost estate at the feet of God? Oh, friend. John 3:16, for God so, the depth of meaning in that little adverb of minor, S-O, as it's found in John 3:16, has never been fathomed. God so loved you and me, the world of sinners, that He gave His innocent, guiltless, pure, sinless Son to die, so that through faith in Him, we could stand in a right relationship with Himself. Friends, God loves you beyond your ability to fathom. The love of God is beyond the reach of the human mind. I believe it. I'm recipient of it. And I'm thankful for it. Not as much so as I should be, but every day for the love of God. God so loved you and me that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I remember Paul made a statement, Acts 17, verse 30, at the times of this ignorance, therefore God overlooked. King James says, winked at, and we understand about that, of course, figure of speech. Oh, in the patriarchy, some 2,500 years of man's history upon the earth, there was no written law at all. Now, there were prophets, of course, and men who had a right relationship with the Lord, who could instruct others, etc. Oh, and then at the end of that 2,500 years of the patriarchy, He gave the law of Moses at Mount Sinai. Oh, but it was given exclusively to the Jewish nation. And it wasn't perfect. Now, it didn't regulate all of man's thought, speech, and conduct. At the times of his ignorance, therefore, God overlooked. Now, listen to Paul. Verse 30, Acts 17, but now He commandeth all men everywhere to repent, inasmuch as He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. From the fall of man, God's will was determined in human redemption, and it is perfected in the blood seal covenant of the Son of God. Now, God requires that I, in honor, in respect, in fear of Himself, obey the will of Christ. Now, He commands all men everywhere to repent. I need to make up my mind to turn away from that which is not authorized in His Word, and to give my life fully and wholly to the accomplishment of His will. No, it won't be God's fault. I remember in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And friends, He's made complete preparation. No stone has been left unturned. There is no deficiency. Everything essential to your salvation and mine is made available today. And God saw to that. He made that available to us. No, it won't be the fault of God. Well, someone says, now, respect of persons. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. The Apostle Peter said, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted with Him. What? In every nation. Matters not the color of your skin, the background that you may come from, or the nationality, the speech. No, no. It doesn't matter who you are. God is no respecter of persons. But listen, in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness, Psalms 119, verse 172, let my lips sing of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. No, no. God is no respecter of persons. The salvation made available by Jesus Christ is available to every sinner, all men. Friend, there's just no way we can hold God accountable or make him responsible for our disappointment in the day of judgment. It's out of the question. Well, someone said maybe there's a flaw somewhere. Maybe in the life or the teaching of Jesus Christ. See, friend, in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. What is the Lord saying? He is inviting all men, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and that's true of every person bearing the burden of sin. He said, I'll give you rest. Now notice, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. A yoke is for balancing the loads of life. I need then to learn of the Lord. What did he say? Oh, he said, my yoke is easy, my burden light, compared to the consequences of sin, even in this life. Oh, and certainly the eternal consequences of sin. It's the easiest thing in the world. His burden is light beyond description. My burden is light. Yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come unto me. The Lord wants you to be saved. As a matter of fact, in Luke 19, verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He wants you to be with him throughout eternity. He came and gave his life. Gave up equality with the Father. I remember that Paul said in Philippians 2, verse 5, have this mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Wherefore also God hath highly exalted him, given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He gave up heaven. He gave up equality with the Father, came and suffered and died to make my salvation available. No, it won't be the fault of Jesus Christ. Oh, even Isaiah, the prophets frequently spoke of the coming of the Messiah. Chapter 35 of Isaiah, verse 8. Oh, he said very clearly, and a way shall be there, and a highway. Oh, it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed. Wayfaring men, yea, fools, need not err therein. Jesus said, I'm that way. John 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So then he is the way that Isaiah spoke of in prophetic utterance, through which we have the hope of eternal life. That's correct. Friends, he wants us to be saved. Jesus pleads with you. He invites. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, didn't he say this? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man shall open, I'll come in and sup with him, and he with me. Friends, the latch string of your heart hangs on the inside. Jesus pleads with you every day of your life. His message is available. The plan of salvation is clearly set out. The cleansing power of his blood has never been diminished. He wants you to be saved. We can't blame the Lord, but what about the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Godhead? Oh, Revelation 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come, take of the water of life freely. Friends, That is marvelous. The Holy Spirit wants you to be saved. And you remember that statement of the Lord when He said, as we noted a moment ago, John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. How do I know about that? How is all of that set out for me? Oh, you recall the Lord said to His apostles, John 16, and verse 13, but when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He shall guide you into all truth. So I learn about the saving power of the blood of Christ. I learn about the perfect example of my Lord. I know about the sacrifice that He made to redeem my soul because of the work of the Holy Spirit. He enabled these apostles by inspiration to inerrantly record the Lord's will. No. It won't be the fault of the Holy Spirit. Every scripture inspired of God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Friends, I need to study this book. I need to find out what the Lord would have me do. I need to know, and the only way I can know, understand, comprehend, is through the work of the Holy Spirit. He had this book recorded inerrantly. So we have the sum total of God's divine revelation. No, it won't be the fault of the Holy Spirit. What about the angels? Maybe there's some interference here. Maybe there's some... No. As a matter of fact, I remember in verse 7 of Luke chapter 15, there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Oh, if you drop down to verse 10, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. No, the angels are working for you. Well, as a matter of fact, that's what the inspired writer of Hebrews said, isn't it? Sure. He said, you recall, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service to them that shall inherit salvation? Hebrews chapter 1 at verse 14. Of whom does he speak? He's talking of the angels. The angels are the subjects of that context. They're what? They are all ministering spirits sent forth to do service to them that shall inherit salvation. Friends, the angels are on your side. They are working for us, for our salvation. Well, someone says, we can blame Christian people. No, you can blame false teachers sometime, but that won't get the job done. I don't have to listen to false teachers. Oh, sure. Many false teachers are going out into the world. That's why John said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John chapter 4 at verse 1. There's no question about there being false prophets. But no. You cannot blame Christian people for your lost condition in the final analysis. Friends, Christian people tell you the truth. That's that. Christian people condemn error. Christian people speak where the Bible speaks. They're silent where the Bible is silent. As Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4 at verse 11. So you can depend on a Christian person to tell you the truth. Yeah, but someone says, now, that's narrow-minded. They call it what you will. There is a narrow gate and a difficult way. There's a wide gate and a broad way, but that leads to eternal damnation. We don't want that. So we are limited to a thus saith the Lord. And Christian people will tell you that. Didn't Paul make the statement, what is that, Acts chapter 20, about verses 26 and 27? I testify to you this day that I am pure, I am free from the blood of all men. On what basis, Paul? For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Friends, I'm aware that it's not popular to preach the truth. Too few people believe the truth. Many people today apologize for the truth. Oh, yes, many people try to worm out of any responsibility for the proclamation of the truth of God. But Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, verse 32. Yeah, but truth is God's word. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. John 17 at verse 17. Oh, absolutely. So then, when we preach, we just preach book, chapter, and verse. We just preach the word of the Lord. No. Not my idea about what this verse is saying or that. No, 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 no. What God has said. And every verse verifies what every other verse has said. This book is in harmony with itself. You cannot blame Christian people if you stand before the Lord condemned on the final analysis. I remember that Paul said, Romans 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about seeking to establish their own righteousness, they did not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. That is exactly the condition of a vast majority of the religious world today. Very sincere. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God, I could wish that some way all fine, upstanding, moral people who believe in Christ could stand justified before Him in that day. But it won't happen, the Lord said. Matthew 7, 21 through 27, He makes that very, very clear. So you can't blame Christian people. No, a Christian will tell you the truth. Yeah, but the truth contradicts what I believe. That has nothing to do with it. The truth will make you free. And error will damn the soul. So you can't blame Christian people. Yeah, it sounds narrow, doesn't it? Yes, sir. And a little bit of hard nose? Don't believe it. No, sir, I love you, friend. Otherwise, it wouldn't make a bit of difference to me whether you go to heaven or hell. That'd be your choice, and it wouldn't bother me in the least. But it does. It does. You're an immortal soul. You are a precious human being. You are one for whom Jesus died. What is the value of your soul? Well, we can draw some conclusions from such statements as Matthew 16, verse 26, can we not? For what shall a man be profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Your soul is worth more than the material wealth of this universe, multiplied by infinity. You and I will live forever. The only way we can live with the Lord is through the truth, the application of the principles herein contained. So you can't blame Christian people. Well, what about those who've gone on? I mean, it's just possible that maybe in Tartarus, Hades, in the place of punishment. But friend, if you will read Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, certain rich man faring sumptuously every day. Oh, there was a beggar named Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be filled with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Yeah, even the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass that the beggar died, was carried away with the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, I pray thee, send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in anguish in this flame. And Abraham explained, of course, and we don't have time for all of it in detail. Finally, the rich man said, then I would that you send him back to my father's house. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Friends, those who have passed on and are lost, those who are in the flames of Tartarus right now, they love you. They don't want you to come to that place. No, sir. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Today, we have Jesus Christ and the apostles. Friends, we need to hear him. But somebody says, and the rich man said, nay, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, if a man will not hear Jesus Christ and the apostles, he wouldn't be persuaded though one should rise from the dead. Friends, we can't blame people who've gone on. Well, then, where is the responsibility? How could I possibly stand lost? That's personal. That's individual. It's your fault. If you're lost, it is the fault of no one save yourself. Except for we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the deeds done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or evil. 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 10. So then each one of us shall give account of himself unto God in the day of judgment. Romans chapter 14 at verse 12. Friends, we will ultimately stand before the Almighty in judgment. And the basis of that judgment? John 12, verse 48. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That's why Paul could say he was free from the blood of all men. He had only proclaimed the Lord's will. That's why you can't blame Christian people for your lost estate in the final analysis, for we preach book, chapter, and verse, just saying what the Lord said, and it's on that basis that we can stand justified before Him.